That was a prayer done in song, right? Amen? You can go ahead and sit, Glenn. Do you have something you want to share? Okay, you can go ahead and have a seat. Go ahead. I think that was a song that was, or a prayer that was done in song this morning. So I have two Sunday humors, and by the way, yesterday I had my wedding down in Matamora, and I did the one where with the doilies and the $82,500 joke, and they really enjoyed it, so they really had a good time with it. I thank the Lord for that wedding yesterday. It was beautiful. So let's go ahead. It says, one day, on the way home from church, a little girl turned to her mother and said, Mommy, the preacher's sermon this morning, it confused me. The mother said, oh, why is that? And the little girl replied, well, he said God is bigger than we are. Is that true? The mother replied, yes, it is, dear. He also said that God lives within us. Is that true, too? And the mother replied, yes. Well, said the girl, if God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through? I mean, the innocence of a child, right? I thought that was short, so I had this one here. It was really cute. One night at an Econo motel, I ordered a 6 a.m. wake-up call. The next morning, I woke up before 6, but the phone did not ring until 6:30 for my wake-up call. Good morning, the young man sheepishly said. This is your wake-up call. Okay, 30 minutes later. Annoyed, I let the hotel worker have it. You were supposed to call me at 6 o'clock, I complained. What if I had a $1 million deal to close this morning and your oversight made me miss that meeting? Well, sir, the desk clerk quickly replied, if you had a $1 million deal to close, you wouldn't be staying in this motel. Amen to that. What I want to talk about this morning, let me give an example before I go there. And this isn't me, but it was an example that was given with this message as I was reading it. This pastor was talking to, could have been a parishioner, could have been a family member or a friend, and they were talking and communicating on the phone to each other. And the other person must have got a little upset, and they hung the phone up. Well, the pastor thought, why did you hang up on me? And in the pastor's frustration, he took the phone and he slams it down on his desk. In the process of slamming the phone down, he slams it on his laptop and crashes his computer, losing everything, losing his sermons, losing his sermon notes, losing his, he had schoolwork on there. He lost everything, it says. How many of us can relate to some situation or circumstance where it just kind of just sets you off? Come on. I see one hand. Okay. All right. Okay. Or it could be our spouse. I'm not saying anything. I'm just using an example. One of our kids or our cat or our dog. My dog gets on my nerves. I don't know about you guys. But these type of situations can bring us into a situation of spiritual amnesia. Now, we know what amnesia is. It's kind of a moment where you lose a memory or a part of a memory. So spiritual amnesia are the things that pull your eyes off the glorious reality of who God is, what God has done for us, and the great future that God has for us. So spiritual amnesia happens probably all of us maybe every day, sometimes maybe once or twice a day. For some, spiritual amnesia is triggered by some of these examples. Like, for example, an ungrateful spouse or child. You got a child that you know, expects you to, you know, always be there, you know, maybe to watch the kids or to, you know, let you borrow their car all the time, or, you know, or they want you to let them borrow your car all the time, or, you know, the list could go on and on, either a spouse or a child or maybe a brother or a sister, and they're constantly, you know, wanting something from you. Or it could be just a simple thing like a pile of laundry that just never seems to, you know, be empty. It's all, there's always that pile of laundry there. And it's like, does this ever end? You know, I'm sure my mom with 12 kids, I'm sure that was a daily thing to always see a pile of laundry. How about bad traffic? How about when we get to the stoplight there on the hill coming from Princeton? And we might want to, we're all going to try to go by your house when they do the junction over there, probably, because I'm sure they're going to end up doing that. But I'm sure that's where we're going to all have spiritual amnesia, because we're going to have the patience to deal with that, you know, as they're working on the road. How about, now, most of us here don't have to deal with it, but employment, you know, getting laid off. Maybe during COVID, we experienced spiritual amnesia because we're frustrated. We want to get out. We want to do things. We want to go places. We want to see people. Or how about underemployment? In other words, saying, I can do so much better than where I'm at. I want to move up. Or I want to do something different. That can draw you into a spiritual amnesia. A critical word spoken to you in the past that keeps coming back and haunting you. Saying that you'll never amount to anything, that you're not any good, that you'll never overcome that bad habit or whatever. Or just simply having a bad day can just bring on spiritual amnesia. These triggers come unexpectedly, we know, at any time and anywhere. And that's why it's important for us to remember that the gospel and the promises that God has for us, and that his love and his faithfulness is there for us 24/7. In Romans 8:18, Paul declared that the present sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will one day be revealed to us. So we know that there's a greater glory in store for us, that this time on earth is such a minute, small amount of time compared to eternity, that, and that's how we have to see it, and that maybe that situation that you're going through is only a season. It's not something that's going to last a lifetime or last for a long period of time. It's something that you will go through. It's a season that you will go through, just like summer, winter, and spring, and fall. You go through those seasons, but that eventually that season will end. But see, when we go through those times of trials or battles, Satan wants to get us caught up in that particular care or circumstance or that situation so that he can get us focused on it and get our eyes off the promises of God. And we all know that. We all know that that's the thing that he's good at. He's good at lying because he is the father of lies. He invented lies. He is the one who does everything he can to get, and especially Christians. If you are having a life that's just carefree and nothing's going wrong, you might want to double check in your Christian walk, because Satan isn't going to bother anybody too much if they're not exactly doing what God called him to do. If you're not rocking Satan's boat, he's not going to bother you. But if you're rocking his boat, he's going to bother you. So if you're having a bad day, or, you know, things, you know, you seem like every turn of the bend, you're struggling with something, you might want to say, I must be doing what God wants, because Satan's trying to get me focused on something else. I must be doing what God wants me to do. So when we focus on the things that Satan throws at us, our sins, instead of our Savior, we are experiencing spiritual amnesia. Because God said, once you've sought, he says, he's promised, that when we ask God to forgive us, that sin is thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, not to be remembered anymore, and it is far as the east is from the west. When we experience battles, big or small, we have to confess that the battle belongs to the Lord. Now, there's a song, I'm going to not sing it, but I want to read the verses to it, but I'm going to do it at the end. It's by a Christian singer called Phil Wickham, and it's called The Battle Belongs, is the name of it. But when I heard I had heard it yesterday on the radio, and I'd been hearing it for quite a few months now, but when I really listened to the words, I thought, this is so what God wants us to do when we're going through these battles. So when I share these lyrics, I want you to really pay attention to them, because it's exactly what we should be doing when we deal with battles. Now, I want to share another story. This is a true story. I'm not going to mention names, but I do want to share the story, and maybe some of you will say, oh, I know who you're talking about. It's about a pastor and his wife who kept daily journals. Now, whether they did them together or whether they did them separately, I am not sure. But about 5 years ago, they dealt with the very, very tragic death of their son, a very unexpected death. It was a tragic death, and I'm not going to go into detail about that. But the loss of that son was devastating because of the way he died. And they said to each other, how are we going to get through this? How, God, do you expect us to get through this? The child was only 18 years old. And they were devastated. It was just devastating. He had went through some emotional issues. And when he died, they knew he was fighting emotional things over the years, but they didn't expect it to end the way it did for their son. And, you know, again, thinking we are pastors, and the way he died was just devastating. And see, Satan wanted to do, the first thing he wanted to do was, that shouldn't have happened. You're a pastor. That's your son. That should have never, you know, that he was trying to lay that guilt on them. And again, they went to the Lord together saying, Lord, how are we going to get through this? What are people going to think? And yet, God got them through it. Now, I share this story because as I was studying, because I go to so many different areas to put a message together. And when I read this particular story, she had periodically gone back through her journal of years and months and, you know, whatever, later, and reread some of these stories or these events in their lives. And she reads the part where the son has died in her journal. And she writes underneath it, you know, after she expresses her grief and her sorrow. And at the end she says, Lord, how are we going to get through this? And then she stops. After she reads that, she stops. She goes to her husband, the pastor, and she goes, look at this. Look what I wrote in the journal. And he reads it. And the two of them sit there together and they discuss how God got them through it. They talked it out. It came from here, out of their mouth. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what came out of their mouth was, God did this. God gave us strength. God gave us wisdom. God put a hope back in us again. God got us through this. He walked with us through. He never left us. He was there for us. And he brought people across our paths to minister to us, to help us walk through this. They talked about how God. So I brought that up to say, when we're to look at the past, that is the only time we look at the past. Satan would want us to look at the past and regret and feel guilty and have shame, and all the negative thoughts, all the negative feelings when we look at the past. But God, when he wants us to look at the past, he wants us to see that he's never left us, that he's always been with us. But not only that, like I said earlier, that God is God and we are not. and that he has never left the throne and put somebody else in his place. He has always been there for us. He's always been the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, he is the same as he was yesterday and as he will be tomorrow. He will be the same. That same God who was with you then will be with you again today. He will be with you again tomorrow. And he'll be the same God. He'll be the same loving, forgiving, faithful, encouraging, positive, joyful God. And he will take your place every time. He will be there for you every time. So I share this story about this couple because they got through it. And all of us here are going through some hard seasons in our lives. It could be family. It could be friends. It could be events. It could be, like I said, Satan likes to bring up the things of the past. And sometimes you find yourself still trying to deal with the guilt or the sadness or the regrets. Heard a story yesterday of a man who said, I'm determined that when I get married, and he said that my relationships are always going to be positive because he came from a family where it was so broken. And he says, I don't know how many times I wrote letters to my parents, but I never sent them because I knew that what I was sending them was not right. What he had in those letters was nothing but bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. He said, I'm thankful I never sent them. But boy, did I want to then. But I'm thankful I didn't now. But he dealt with this unforgiveness for decades. But he said, but I wasn't taught how to do it the right way. But how do we get taught to do it the right way? By coming here. By getting under the word. By being with others in Christ who've been there and done that and have walked the same paths that you've walked and have learned and developed and figured out that unforgiveness gets you nowhere, that forgiveness will give you, that and then some. It gives you the victory. It's good to reflect, like I said, on the faithfulness of God. And he wants us to reflect on the past because of what he's done. When we deal with certain things at that particular time, we find it hard to not focus on it because we're so engrossed in what maybe is going on because it caught us off guard. But let's look at the Israelites. They had what we call spiritual amnesia. The Israelites, as they stood at the brink of the promised land, they seemed to forget all that God had done for them that brought them that far already. For many years, God brought them from the land of Egypt and bringing them to the promised land. They had forgotten how God supplied the manna for them, not only the manna, in the camp, but they brought it right to their tents. He dropped it right to their front doors. Okay? And then how God parted the Red Sea for them and how God directed them with the fire by night and the cloud by day. So as we look at our past, and we can be reminded of God's faithfulness. So if God was faithful, like I said, in the past, he's going to be faithful now and he'll be faithful in the future. As I shared with about Jeff, I talked to him at least once a week, but he was so discouraged, so downcast, so heavy. I mean, he was so focused on his surroundings, which, that would be hard not to be. I mean, because there's so much darkness there. There's so much darkness and unforgiveness and anger in that place, that it would be hard to not stay focused on it. But as he says, I find myself, because there's, I don't know how many acres, there must be quite a few acres for them to walk. He says, I find myself, just so that I don't stay focused on my surroundings. I walk the grounds. I walk them every day, sometimes twice a day. And he said, that's my time with the Lord. And he said, and that's what I do. He said, that gets my focus off of my surroundings, and I get focused on God. Nothing interrupts that fellowship with God. So you can see that God is working in him. But just that little thing of finding one person out of I don't know how many that are there. He did tell me the figure of the population there, but it was a lot. But just that one person having the same desire to get the word and grow in the word and, you know, and get have a hope and a future even there. And when you're getting fed by each other, that helps so much. Spiritual amnesia is like a disease, and it will destroy a Christian's life, but not only a Christian's life, it will destroy their witness. I'm going to go through some steps here. The reality of spiritual amnesia, or the state of spiritual amnesia, is one who forgets their commitment to Christ, a person who loses his spiritual perception or forgets the cleansing of their sin by the price that Jesus paid for them. Or they were once so in love with the Father, with God, and they accepted Christ, but now they've just kind of walked away from it. Maybe it's just for a season. Maybe they were disappointed or frustrated and expected things to be better or improve. Or maybe that person is living more in the flesh and in the things of the world and not concerned about spiritual things. But the thing is, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to ask God to give us opportunities to be able to minister to them, to remind them of who they are in Christ. Remind them of the day they accepted Christ, what it was like, how excited they were, how the weight of the world was taken off of them when they received not only salvation, but they received deliverance from bad habits, drugs, smoking, drinking, whatever, being delivered from their past mistakes. From being a people pleaser in your career, working with others, alongside others, or your family or friends, always trying to please others. Also being delivered from the lies that Satan tries to throw at you, that you'll never amount to anything, that you're always going to have these issues, these problems, this bad habit. But again, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should ask God to give us opportunities to cross their paths so that we can be encouragers, not that we should say, hey, where have you been? We haven't seen you. How come you haven't been showing up? No, we say, hey, I'm so glad I got to run into you today. You've been on my heart. I just want you to know I've been praying for you, and I just want you to know we miss you, and we'd sure love to have you come back. And is there any prayer, anything I can pray with you about or stand in the gap for you with? Or, hey, how about if we go have a cup of coffee? Or can we get together sometime? You know, something to encourage them. Because you might be their only little light that day. They're walking in so much darkness maybe that day that you might be the only Jesus at that time that they're seeing. So we're always on call, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are always on call 24/7. What are the causes of spiritual amnesia? Maybe worldliness, wanting the things of the world more. It's not that having money is a sin, but the love of money is a sin. So the same is true with material things. Do we love our material things more than we love that time of fellowship and spending time with the Lord? So that's part of the reason why we have these issues with spiritual amnesia, because we put material things or are we want to do this instead of going to church. I want to sleep in instead of go to church. I want to hang out with my friends Saturday night, so I'm not sure whether I'll be able to get up Sunday morning and go to church. Another one would be not staying in fellowship with the Father or in fellowship with one another. Lack of prayer time or reading the Bible or daily devotionals. Daily devotionals, you know, Satan would like to think, is that all you're doing is a daily devotional? That's all you're doing? That's your Bible study? Well, yeah, that's okay. Hey, if that's good, because you know what? If that gets you started, gets your foot in the door, that's going to put a thirst in you, and you're going to be searching for more. You're going to want to know more. There might be one daily devotional that you're reading, and you're going, wow, I didn't know that. I'm going to look that up. I didn't know that. And then you want to research it. And then one thing leads to another where you want to do it again and again and again. So the cure for spiritual amnesia is by, of course, returning to church, returning to God and having that fellowship with him. Here's Jeff. He's out there in the fields, you know, walking the court, you know, speaking the word and confessing the word and thanking the Lord or thanking him and praising him. He's all by himself. I'm sure all of us, at some time during the day, either in our cars or maybe we're out on the porch, we're having a cup of coffee, or maybe we're hearing a beautiful hymn song, or maybe we're thinking about our kids and you're saying, you know, Lord, I just want to thank you for my family. I want to thank you for blessing me with such wonderful children, such a wonderful husband or a wonderful wife. I want to thank you for my life. I want to thank you for this day that I'm starting today. I thank you for your wisdom. And you just, that's your time with the Lord. When you do that, you're letting God know that you're putting him first. And when you put him first, he always likes to up-one you. He always does. He always wants to go one above you to be a blessing to you. Another way is to renew your mind, your heart, your spirit with God's love letter, which is what? This right here. This is his love letter to us. This is what he wants to do. And it talks about how he paid for you. And if you'd have been the only person there would have been, he would have done it just for you. The blood of Jesus that washes as white as snow gives us righteousness so that we can go before the Father. And it's a place where we can find hope, a place where we can find rest. There's no torment. There's no torment when we're in the presence of the Lord. There's no fear when we're in the presence of the Lord. There's no doubt when we're in the presence of the Lord. You think that couple that lost their child, when they got before the Lord, don't you think they were going through so many different mixed emotions? But when they got before the Lord gave them a peace that passed all understanding and that gave them the desire and the hope to continue. I'm sure Satan wanted to tell them, you're failures not only as parents, but as pastors. I'm sure one lie after another was coming at them, but they got down before the Lord. Now, I want to share this with you because this is exactly where they were coming from. It's called Battle Belongs, and it goes, when all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see the mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands raised, lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, You see the beauty. Thank you, God. When all I see is the cross, God, you see an empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted up. Oh, God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh, God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. And almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of my God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of my God. And then it ends itself. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. That says it all. That when we do that, we are acting in faith. Because when we act in faith, nothing will stand in God's way to get to you. Nothing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message today, for your encouragement in your message today. We thank you that you have sent your hosts, your angels, to camp around about us, Father. But not only to protect us physically, but that you have sent the Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us. And that Holy Spirit not only inspires us and encourages us and directs us and guides us, but the Holy Spirit leads us always, always, always back to you. That no matter what Satan tries to throw at us, that the Holy Spirit will always bring us back to you. So, Father, right now, we may not physically get down on our knees, but spiritually we are down on our knees. We are down on our knees, and we lift our hands up to you, exalting you in our time of need, in our seasons of our valleys, Lord. And we know, Father, it's easy to come to you on the mountaintop, but when we're in those valleys, it looks so impossible. But like these testimonies that I shared today, you always make a way where there seems to be no way. You always open doors that no man can close, and that you close doors that no man can open. So, Father, we thank you that you are so faithful, so loving, and we give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.